Imagine being alone in a foreign country. Everything is unfamiliar. Every sign is unreadable. Every voice is just noise. There's a quiet anxiety in that kind of isolation. You're constantly guessing, second-guessing, and carrying the weight of not fully belonging. Then suddenly you hear your native language, not just words, but understanding. There's a connection and a relief that washes over you. You are no longer alone. The world now becomes navigable again. What was once confusion now has meaning. That feeling is only a faint shadow of what it's like spiritually when someone who has been wandering without understanding encounters the work of the Holy Spirit. In Acts 2, when the Spirit is poured out, it's not just about language, it's about revelation. It's about moving from spiritual disorientation to clarity, from hearing without understanding to perceiving truth, from being lost to being found with a purpose. Now imagine you are deaf. According to the recent data, approximately 11 to 12 million people in the United States, roughly 3.6% of the population, are deaf or have serious difficulty hearing. While according to HearView and the National Institute on Deafness and Other Communication Disorders, they say about 48 million Americans have some degree of hearing loss. That being said, during the days of Unleavened Bread, we had over one of our dear deaf friends and her hearing husband. Due to her suggestion, we had bought a movie that we all wanted to see. And after a light dinner and copious amount of snacks, we settled down to watch a movie done completely in sign language. Funny enough, there was a soundtrack, but that was for us hearing people. But the entire movie was done in sign. The name of that movie is Jesus, a Deaf Missions Film. This type of film is new to me since I have the ability to hear. But for my dear friend, she lives like this every day. It started off in Acts 2, the movie. And as they received the Holy Spirit, they were able to understand everything in their native tongue. So we're going to go to Acts 2, and we're going to start in verse 5. Acts 2, verse 5. And we're going to read all the way to verse 12. And there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And when this sound occurred, the multitude came together and were confused, because everyone heard them speak in their own language. Verse 7. Then they were all amazed and marveled, saying to one another, "Look, are not all these who speak Galileans? And how is it that we hear each in our own language in which we were born? Parthians and Medes and Elamites, those dwelling in Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya adjoining Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them speaking in our own tongues the wonderful works of God." Verse 12. So they were all amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "Whatever could this mean?" Now others in the area, we see in the next few verses, started to mock, saying these guys must be drunk. However, they too could not fathom how it wasn't just vain babbling, but actual speech. In the remaining time that I have here, I will discuss with you three New Testament scriptures that reflect this transformation from not knowing to finally grasping what God wants us to know. The title of this message is The Key to Understanding. The Key to Understanding. Now turn with me to your Bibles and Luke, and we're going to read chapter 24, verses 44 to 45. This is Luke 24, 44, 45. Verse 44. Then he said to them, "These are the words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms concerning me. Verse 45, and he opened their understanding that they might comprehend the scriptures. Now, this moment comes right after the resurrection, when the disciples are still trying to piece everything together. They had walked with Jesus. They had heard all his teachings. They even witnessed miracles. Yet, they still didn't understand. It's like they had been hearing a foreign language the entire time. Familiar sounds, but absolutely no comprehension. Then something changed. Jesus doesn't give them new information. He opens their understanding with the gift of the Holy Spirit. Suddenly, the scriptures they had known all their lives start to come alive. Events that were once puzzling, they all now make sense. The crucifixion is no longer confusion or defeat. It becomes fulfillment and victory. To someone experiencing this kind of awakening, it would feel like layers being peeled back. Imagine reading a book your whole life and finally realizing what it's about. The same words are there, but now they carry the weight, depth, and coherence. The Holy Spirit acts as a translator, not of human language, but of divine truth. There also is a profound emotional shift. Confusion gives way to confidence. Fear is replaced with clarity. The disciples who were once scattered and uncertain, remember, they all ran when they came for Jesus. They all hid, they ran, even some cussed. But now they began to move all in one direction. Understanding that God's word is not just intellectual, it's transformational. It changes how you see everything, the suffering, the purpose, identity, and eternity. In that sense, having your understanding open is like stepping into a world that has always been there, but it was hidden. It's not that reality changes, but it's your ability to perceive it. The scriptures stop being distant or symbolic and become personal and alive. You are no longer guessing at the meaning, you're receiving it. Now, would you please turn with me to 1 Corinthians 2. 1 Corinthians 2, and we're going to read verses 12 and 13. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 12. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit of who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. These things which you also speak, not in words, which man's wisdom teaches, but with the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Paul describes a clear distinction between human understanding and spiritual understanding. Without God's Holy Spirit, divine truths were inaccessible to him and to us, not because they've been hidden maliciously, but because they require a different kind of perception. Remember Paul, he was a brilliant and meticulously trained student in Jewish law by the renowned Rabbi Gamaliel. Yet without the elimination of God's Holy Spirit, his intellectual knowledge only led to zealotry and the persecution of the early church. Now let's think back to the foreign language or being deaf analogy. You can sit in a room where profound truths are being spoken, but without the ability to understand or hear, it's all lost. That's what Paul is describing here. God's Holy Spirit is what allows you to know, not just hear, not just observe, but truly grasp what God has given us. When someone receives that kind of understanding, it feels like being let in on a mystery that was always just out of reach. Things that once seemed foolish or irrelevant suddenly become central and life-giving. The message of grace, the depth of God's love, and the reality of spiritual life, these are no longer abstract ideas, but lived truths. There's also a sense of gift in this passage. Paul emphasizes that these things are freely given. That realization alone reshapes a person's worldview. Instead of striving endlessly to earn meaning or worth, the individual begins to live in a place of receiving. God's Holy Spirit doesn't just inform us, it reassures us, it anchors us, and it reaffirms us. Emotionally, this can feel like a shift from striving to resting. Intellectually, it's like moving from guessing to finally knowing. Spiritually, it's like stepping into a lighted room after being surrounded in darkness. The world itself may look the same, but all its significance changes. Everyday moments begin to carry eternal weight. Scripture becomes nourishment instead of obligation. And perhaps most importantly, this understanding creates a connection, not just to God, but to others that share the same spirit. It's like suddenly being surrounded by people who all speak the same language after a long session of silence. Now turn with me to Ephesians 1. Ephesians 1, and we're going to be reading 17 through 21. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling, what are the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints. 19. And what is the exceeding greatness of His power toward us who believe, according to the working of His mighty power, which He worked in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and seated Him at His right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. Paul's prayer is deeply and personal. It is very powerful. We should also be able to see that he's not asking for material blessings or external success. He's asking God for enlightenment of his heart. This is about seeing, truly seeing, what had been previously hidden. The phrase, eyes of your understanding, is especially striking to me. It suggests that understanding is just not mental, it is perceptual. It is about how you see reality. Before this enlightenment, a person might look at life and see randomness, hardship, or emptiness. Afterward, they begin to see the purpose and the calling and the hope. To someone experiencing this, it would feel like just waking up, not from sleep, but from a spiritual dullness. Colors have now become more vivid, not literally, but in meaning. Hope becomes tangible. The future is no longer uncertain in a fearful way, but in an expected way. Paul mentions three things that become clear with the addition of God's Holy Spirit. Those are the hope of his calling, the riches of his inheritance, and the greatness of his power. Each of these reshape identity. You are no longer just existing. You have been called. You are no longer empty. You are now inheriting. You are no longer weak. You have been empowered. This is where the comparison to Acts 2 becomes even more profound. The Holy Spirit doesn't just allow understanding of human language. It opens access to divine perspective. It's like being given a new set of eyes or ears that you can perceive what truly matters. This change affects everything about you, how you think, how you feel, or how you act. The world stops feeling confusing and starts feeling meaningful, just like something that you're meant to take part in. Instead of feeling lost, you actually start to feel guided. Instead of wandering, you start to move with purpose. Truly, in the end, there will be no more deafness, no more confusion between languages, and no more misunderstanding caused by the separation from us and God's Holy Spirit. His Spirit not only has the power to heal our physical ailments, but also to open our hearts and minds to the truth of His Word. The true key to understanding has always been His Spirit dwelling within us. This enlightenment is not simply about gaining knowledge. It's about entering into a personal relationship with God. It is about truly knowing who He is, not merely knowing about Him. And once that connection has been made through His Spirit, everything will fall into place.